Today's shir on Likutei Moran, we dedicate Le'ilui Nishmas Reb Chaim Meir B'Reb Moshe, the father of Mrs. Gail Gundel, people that are very close friends. Shem should help that the Torah that's being learned should be an elevation for his neshama, and he should be a Meilitz Toiv for his family and all of Klal Yisrael. Chapter Kuf Yud Gimel, 113. This chapter of Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal bases on a mission in Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah says, V'nifroin min ha'odom midaitoi v'shaloi midaitoi. That kaviyochel, when Hashem exacts retribution from a Jew, when Hashem punishes a Jew, it's done with the person's consent and knowledge and without the person's consent and knowledge. Let's see what this means. Ki shomati b'shem ha'bal shem toiv. Rabbeinu Zal says, I heard it told over in the name of the Baal Shem Toiv, that he interpreted this mission as follows. Ki koidim kol gzar din sheboilam chas v'shalom, that before any decree that Hashem has issued is carried out in the world, ma'asvin kol ha'oilam, Hashem gathers together the whole world, im maskimim ladin ahu, to see if the people are asked if they agree with that judgment or not. Including the person against whom this judgment has been decreed by heaven, that person also, Shoyel and Oisoi, they ask him, Imhu Maskim, if he agrees to that he deserves the judgment that heaven wants to give him. Azai Nigmar Hadin Chas V'Shalom. And it's only then, after everyone has agreed, including the person himself, then the judgment can be carried out. Voinyin ki bevadai im yishoel oy beferu shalatzmoy, bevadai yakchish v'yoymer shein adin kein. Any of us could understand that if a person will be asked, do you deserve this and this punishment, penalty? The person will disagree. They'll certainly protest and they'll come up with all kinds of excuses why they should. V'yoymar shein adin kein. The person will say that it's not true. I don't deserve to be punished like this. Ach, however, matin oisoi. In heaven, they mislead the person. V'shoyel en oisoi al keyotze boi. They don't ask him regarding himself. They present a question regarding a case that's similar to his case, with somebody else. The who poisek hadin, and the person passes judgment. He says, I think that person deserves to be punished in this and this way. Vazai nigmar hadin. And then the judgment against him or her is completed. So that the person doesn't realize that when he said that and that person deserves to be punished this and this way, he was actually pointing to himself. And he was telling Shamayim, telling heaven, that he recognizes that for such a mistake, for such a sin, the punishment that's deserved is what he was told. Ukinyin shemotzinu bedover ha-melech olav ha-shalom. This is similar to what we find by King David. Bevoye lov nosan hanovi. After King David made the decision to have Uriah Hachiti killed, to have him sent out to the front in a way that it was almost definite that he would be killed in battle, so that Dovid HaMelech would be able to marry Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. And shortly afterwards, Hashem sent Nosan HaNovi to go to Dovid HaMelech and to tell him the following story, the following parable. V'siper loy maisa ho'ireach. And Nosan HaNovi tells Dovid HaMelech the story about a guest. The story there is that Nosan HaNovi says, there were two people that lived in a city, a very wealthy person who had large flocks of cattle and sheep, and a poor person who only had one little lamb. And the wealthy person had a guest come to his home, and he wanted to serve the guest meat. And he felt bad taking any of his own cattle or sheep or lamb, so he took this one lamb that this poor man owned, he took it and slaughtered it in order to serve it to his guest. What should be that person's punishment? Dovid HaMelech jumped up and said, Onav Omar. Dovid HaMelech said, Chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem's name that he deserves death penalty. And in addition, he should pay back four times as much as the cost of that lamb that he took from the poor man. Vesakivsan, regarding the lamb, four times as much. And the Navi tells us, Azai nifsak hadin al David. And as soon as he said that, the judgment was sealed against David HaMelech, kasher yotza mipiv, exactly as he has spoken. Meaning there was a judgment against him for him to die, to be killed by the sword, and in addition to have to pay four times as much. The Navi tells us later that through David HaMelech's tshuva and tefillah, he was able to eliminate the decree that he shouldn't have to die by the sword. However, the rest of the punishment, David HaMelech suffered that four of his children, Amnon, Tamar, Avshalom, and also the first baby that Bathsheba gave birth to, all four of those died in an irregular way in order to atone for this, based on the judgment that David HaMelech had said. Vizehu, and this is what the Mishnah means when it says, V'nifroin min ha'odom midaitoi, that heaven exacts retribution against the person with his knowledge, with his consent, kloimar she'shoyel endaitoi. This means that from heaven they ask the person his opinion regarding such a scenario. V'yafal pikein hu she'loi midaitoi. And even though they're asking the person, he doesn't realize that he's actually passing judgment against himself. It's without the person's knowledge, in a sense. Ki eina yodea shadin hu olav. The person doesn't know, he doesn't realize that the judgment is actually about him. Rabbeinu Zalnel says, v'ho inyan hu omoik ma'oid. And this issue is very deep. Eich shoyalin kol odom. How Hashem works it out that every single person, before they receive any kind of punishment, the person is first asked, and the person has to agree to it, that they deserve such a punishment. Ki bechol hadiburim vasipurim she'odom shamea, yimtza sham dvorim gevoyim v'ramim. Because regarding all of the conversations and stories that a person hears throughout the day, people are talking and saying, Rabbeinu Zal says you can find there very deep things, very exalted things. V'tzorich lizoher bozeh ma'oid. And a Jew has to be extremely careful, livli ligmor hadin, not to judge, not to pass judgment on a situation, ad sheyeshane v'yeshalish, before the person reviews it a second time and a third time, to be very sure and positive. If they're saying that somebody deserves to be punished, they better be very, very sure about it. Ki hu sakonois nefoshois, because it could be life-threatening to the person. Vahadvorim atikim, and this is very deep. Ki yesh boze beinyan sipurei dvorim inyonim gevoyim, because regarding the stories that people tell over, there are very high-level things that are included in what they're saying that the people don't even realize, that they're being used as messengers from Hashem to give over stories and to tell news and this, that. And in the communication that's taking place between people, there are things being said and heard that are affecting judgments against people. Now Rabbeinu Zal gives another example. Vizeh, with this we could also understand a story in the Gemara, that one of the great rabbis, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, was very sick, and his close friend, Rabbi Yochanan, came to visit him to perform the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Chiya, Chavivin olecha yisurin? Does this suffering, do you like it? Omar loy, Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said, loy, no. He said, loy hein v'loy scharan. I don't want the suffering and I don't want the reward for it. So Rabbi Yochanan said to him, Havli yodoch, give me your hand, as a means of like swearing, affirming that you're sure about what you just said, that you don't want this suffering. Yohev leyode, Rabbi Chiya gave his hand, extended his hand to Rabbi Yochanan, v'ukmei, and Rabbi Yochanan was able to lift him up out of the illness, out of the sickness, out of the suffering. What is the Gemara telling us here? Kloimar, Rabbeinu Zal says, this means to tell us, that Rabbi Yochanan was saying, Im einat chafetz bohem, if you don't want this suffering, havli yodoch al zeh, Give me your hand on that to really affirm. You're giving me a tkiyas kaf. It's like you're swearing that you're positive, that you refuse, you're rejecting this suffering. She'ena toroitza ben be'emes, that you really don't want this suffering. Azai yohev le'yodei, then Rabbi Chiya bar Abba extended his hand, v'ukmei, and Rabbi Yochanan was able to raise him up to take him out of the suffering.
Then, the whole idea of that, about Yisurim and also punishment, especially in this context where we look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a type and amitiv, this type of thing, there's no kapara unless this suffering has to happen. It's a difficult thing to understand.
It's true. We say on Shabbos, Mishpotecho Tohim Rabo, that Hashem's justice, Hashem's judgment is very deep. It's definitely true we don't understand. There's a lot written about this, and this is one of the most difficult and critical tests of a Jew in this world. Rabbi Nachman speaks about it in several places. One of the outstanding places is in the second half of Likutei Moran, chapter 5. He speaks about Tikkun HaMishpat. And a major aspect of Tikkun HaMishpat requires that a Jew does not question Hashem's judgment. That we know, we believe implicitly that Hashem's judgment is fair and kind. Not only fair, but kind. Hashem is Melech Oyev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. Hashem likes Tzedakah, which means kindness and justice. We're going to have more on this a little bit later, in chapter 115, Rabbi Nizal is going to go into this, and he goes into it in other places. There are some Sfarim, like the Arizal, who with his knowledge of Kabbalah and secrets of Gilgulim, reincarnations, sometimes he'll enlighten us and fill in information that we don't have, that we don't know, that sometimes makes it easier for us to understand why it had to be this way. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to kill the Mitzri? Why did Korach have to be swallowed up in the ground? Why did Yisro come and convert? Why was Moshe Rabbeinu's wife a daughter of Yisro? The Arizal explains those three scenarios as relevant to Cain's murder of Hevel, where we don't necessarily see punishment being exacted, but the Arizal shows us how in subsequent reincarnations, everything was balanced out, everything got straightened out. But this is definitely one of the things that we need to know. We don't understand. We cannot understand completely. And it's a test of faith. The more we learn, the more enlightenment we get. We do get enlightenment where sometimes, for example, the Gemara tells a story about 10 of the greatest rabbis of the Gemara who were put to death in the most horrible way by the Roman king. And the Roman king says that because he learned in the Chumash that 1,000 years before that, Yosef HaTzadik was kidnapped by his brothers, his 10 brothers, and sold into slavery. And he also learned in the Torah that the penalty for kidnapping is death penalty. So he decides, this Roman king seems, he decides that these 10 rabbis are good stand-ins for those 10. Person reads that story at first and says, what's going on here? What did they do? They were wonderful rabbis. And again, the Arizal fills in that those 10 rabbis were actually reincarnations of the 10 brothers of Yosef HaTzadik. And this is why they had to experience this, even though Yosef HaTzadik seemed to say that everything was okay, not only good came out of it, yet he was able to forgive them for what took place on earth. In terms of heavenly punishment, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, it still required these rabbis going through this type of suffering in order to cleanse them, in order to atone for this sin. Again, the more one learns Torah, especially the Torah of the Tzaddikim, it becomes clearer and clearer how perfect Hashem is and how everything fits, you know, the punishment fits the crime always perfectly, and not just that, but it's still with tremendous chesed, with tremendous kindness. Rabbi Nizal has a short chapter on Likutei Moran, I don't remember if we covered it yet or not, where he quotes the pasuk, V'yohavto l'reyacha kamocha ani Hashem. Love your friend as you love yourself, I am Hashem. The word reyacha means your friend. The word reyacha also means you're bad. So when something bad happens to a person, so Rabbi Nazal says, "V'yahafto l'reicha, love your suffering, the pain, the struggle that you're going through, because kamoicha, because compared to you, compared to what you would really deserve, compared to what's required, ani Hashem, I am yud kei vav kei, I am showing kindness to you. I am using my name of Hashem that reflects kindness." This is one of the places where Rabbi Nazal addresses this and assures us and reassures us that there's going to come a time when we're going to understand how all the suffering and struggle, how it was really a tremendous benefit to us. It was only for our good.
Rabbi Maimon.
Yes.
I'm not sure I understand the connection of the Gemara and Brachos at the end here, how that relates to when you're given the opportunity to judge yourself.
Mm-hmm. The point that's being brought out here is that the person was asked, Rabbi Chiya was asked, do you like this? Do you like this meaning? Do you accept this? Do you want this? Do you acknowledge that this is deserved and positive? And Rabbi Chiya's response was no. Now again, there are many interpretations. The Marshal, all the commentaries, have what to say about this story in the Gemara. But Rabbi Nazal takes this incident and shows us how the person is being asked about suffering, about a punishment, and when the person refuses it in a very serious way, that punishment can be removed, can be taken away from the person. Does that make it clearer?
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. The next chapter, Kuf Yudalid, 114. The Pasuk says, Hamechase Shomayim Be'ovim, Hashem covers the heavens with clouds, Hameichin Lo'oretz Motor, and He prepares rain for the earth. Rabbi Nazal says, Ki toiv ma'oid mailas hatzadikim hagnuzim. There's a tremendous benefit in the tzadikim who are hidden, who are not well known, who are not publicized. Shehein yecholim lekabel shefa veroiv toivo lahamshich lo'olam. It's because they are hidden that enables them to receive shefa, a flow of bounty and sustenance from Hashem for the world. Ve'enom shoyalim aleihem, and no one questions them. Ve'enom mekatrigim aleihem, and there's nobody prosecuting against them. Machmashem gnuzim, because of the fact that these tzaddikim are hidden. Ve'enom mefursamim, they're not in the public eye. They're not well known. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that Hashem's attribute of kindness, when Hashem wants to send a flow of shefa to the world, bounty, it originates from chesed, from kindness, and it flows down through the midos of Hashem, gvura, teferes, netzach, hoid, yesoid. It flows down to the midah of yesoid. Yesoid is generally the bottom of the set. These six spheres, chesed, gvura, teferes, netzach, hoid, yesoid, represent a set. So the bounty, the shefa, flows down from chesed to yesoid, and it's the yesoid that's charged with passing it on to the malchus, through which it gets distributed to the world. The midah of yesoid, we know, is always associated with the tzaddik. There's a pasuk, v'tzaddik yesoid olam. The tzaddik is the foundation of the world. The tzaddik is called bris, which corresponds to yesoid. So Rabbi Nazal tells us here that we know there are different types of tzaddikim. There are tzaddikim that are well known, and there are tzaddikim that are hidden tzaddikim. A tzaddik that's well known in the world, the klipos, the forces of tuma, the malachei chabola, the destructive angels, know about him also, and they watch such a person. And when they see a flow of shefa coming to such a person, they'll try to challenge it. They'll try to grab that shefa for themselves. And they'll try to prosecute by saying the Jews committed sins, they don't deserve this bounty, they don't deserve this shefa. And sometimes they can succeed in grabbing it, or grabbing a major part of it, and taking it away from Klal Yisrael, and giving it over to the other side, to our enemies, to our opponents. However, a tzaddik who is hidden, a tzaddik who keeps a very low profile, he avoids the public eye, he doesn't want to be known, he doesn't want recognition, that gives him an advantage in this case, where if the shefa is coming to him and he's hidden, then again, these forces of tumah don't see it the same way. They can't see it, and therefore there's less of a chance of them challenging it and prosecuting him and taking away that shefa. Now Rabbi Nizal continues, Filu mishehu mefursam. However, even a tzaddik who is well known, kisheyesh olav machlokes, when there's opposition against him, when people rise up and oppose this tzaddik, they attack him, they insult him, hu toyeles lozeh. That also helps regarding this issue, ki hamachlokes mechas olav, because as a result of this opposition against the tzaddik, that covers him up, that hides his qualities. Very often when people see that someone is speaking against the tzaddik, oh, I guess I don't want to get involved there. I don't want to, I'm afraid. Maybe he's not such a tzaddik. That keeps people away from him in a sense. So that also is considered like a covering from the tzaddik, for the tzaddik. And that also enables the tzaddik to be able to be this conduit, to be able to help shefa come to the world, without these forces of tumah, the klipos, the forces of tumah, protesting and prosecuting, going against them, trying to block that shefa. And now Rabbi Nizal shows us how all of this is hidden in this pasuk. V'zeh hamechase shomayim be'ovim. Hashem covers the shomayim, the heavens, with clouds. Rabbi Nizal says, shomayim hu bechinas hatzadik. The term shomayim represents the tzadik al shem eish umayim, because the Gemara tells us that the word shomayim is the combination of eish and mayim, fire and water, which represent haynu ahava v'yira. We know the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that yira, fear, is associated with fire. There's a pasuk in the Torah, ki oreisa mipnei ha'esh. You were afraid of the fire at Har Sinai. So yira is fire, and ahava is represented by water. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Mayim Rabim Lo Yuchlu Lechabois Es Ahava. Major waters cannot cover up the love. Val Shein Zeh Nikro Hatzadik Shomayim. And it's because of this that the tzaddik is called Shomayim, because the tzaddikim are the ones who teach Klal Yisrael Ahava and Yira. Love for Hashem, love for the Torah, love for a fellow Jew, and yira, respect for Hashem, respect for the Torah, etc. V'zeh hamechase shomayim ba'ovim. Hashem covers up shomayim, the tzaddik, ba'ovim, with clouds. The term ovim means clouds, and also miloshen avius v'gashmius. Avius means thickness, and gashmius means materialism, in a sense. Shemechase es hatzadik ba'ovius v'gashius, v'kashius. Hashem sees to it that the tzaddik should be covered with thick clouds, in a sense, and with questions. Shemakshin v'cholken olav, where people question the tzaddik to see, who knows, maybe he's not really a tzaddik. V'cholken olav, and people actually oppose the tzaddik. Validei kisui hamachlokes v'kashyos elu, and it's as a result of this covering that the machlokes, the opposition, causes, and the questions, hameichin lo'oretz motor, this enables him to prepare rain for the world. Kaidei ze yuchal lahamshich shefa b'li kitrug. This enables the tzaddik to be able to bring about a flow, to be a conduit, a pipe, for a flow of shefa that comes to the world without opposition. V'zeh, and this is also included in the pasuk, Tsoife Rosho LaTzadik. The pasuk says, the Rosho watches the Tzadik. He looks at the Tzadik. Shoharosho Choylek Al HaTzadik. The Rosho, who is opposing the Tzadik, Hurak tsoife, he is only serving as a tsoife. Tsoife means a seer, Sofer also means a covering. Hainu tzipui v'chisui al tzadik. A covering for the tzaddik, just like we saw in the parshas we read recently, in the parsha of the week, where it spoke about covering the mizbeach, covering the shulchan with gold, a tzipui, a covering. Kedei sheyuchal lahamshich shefa. And this occurs in order to enable the tzaddik to be able to draw a flow of shefa to the world. The pasuk continues, umevakesh lahamisoi. However, when the Rasha does this, he wants to finish the job. He doesn't just want to oppose the tzaddik. In many cases, he wants to kill him. Shaharosha mevakesh lakur ulahomis chas v'shalom es tzaddik. In many cases, the Rasha, the wicked person, wants to uproot and kill the tzaddik, chas v'shalom. Hashem loy ya'azvenu biyodoy. However, Hashem will not leave the tzaddik in the hands of the Rasha. Hashem protects the tzaddik and sees to it that the Rasha can only go so far and not further. The opposition can be strong enough to cover the tzaddik to a certain degree, to hide him, to enable him to bring this flow of shefa, but not to smother him, not to kill him, chas v'shalom. Any questions? Good. We continue. Torah Kuf Tes Vav, chapter 115. This pasuk tells us about when Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people on Har Sinai. Vayamoid ha'om me'rochoik. The people stood back in the distance, because we know that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to put a fence around the mountain to make sure the people don't dare try to get too close. U'Moshe nigash el ha'arofel. Moshe Rabbeinu entered the arofel. Arofel means like a thick cloud or a mist. Asher shom ho elokim, which Hashem was inside of. Rabbeinu Zal tells us, Kimi shehu hoylech begashmius kol yomov. A person who spends a major part of his life in materialism, not being religious at all or minimally religious, devoting the life to eating and drinking and sleeping and fun, v'achakach nislahev v'roitza leilech b'darkei Hashem Yisborach. And then at some point, the person becomes inspired and decides they want to return to Hashem. They want to become religious. Azai midas hadin mekatre golov. Then Hashem's attribute of judgment prosecutes that person. It speaks against that person. And it refuses to allow the person to succeed in coming close to Hashem. It tries to prevent the person from going in the path of Hashem, umazmin loy minia, and it actually arranges obstacles to block the person from getting close to Hashem. However, Hashem Yisborach chafetz chesed hu. Hashem loves to do kindness. Hashem wants to be kind. Umastir es atzmoy kaviyochol b'hamaniyah hazois. And therefore, Hashem hides himself inside the obstacle. The obstacle is a covering. Hashem is hiding underneath, inside. Ayin lamato. Wait, look later in this chapter. Rabbeinu Zal is going to clarify what he just said. Umi shehu bardas, a person who's really smart, who mistakel b'amaniya, that person looks carefully at the obstacle, umoitzei shom ha'boirei baruch hu, and he discovers, he sees Hashem inside of there. Kemoi de'isa b'Yerushalmi, as we see that the Yerushalmi in Tainus says in one place, if a person will say to you, where is your Hashem? Tell him that Hashem is found in the great city of Rome. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Eli koire mi Seir. He calls out to me from Seir. Now Seir is the place of Esav. Hashem calls out to me even from there, even from Seir. Umishe. So that even in the Tomei places, Hashem is found there. So a person who's intelligent will realize this and won't run away, won't back away. He'll try to get through that covering and be able to connect with Hashem. Umi she'enoi bardas, but a person who's not that smart, kishiroya hamaniya, when that person sees the obstacle, chayzer tekef lachayrov, the person right away moves back, moves away. No, 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 I'm afraid. I don't want to get too close. It's dark there. I don't know what's inside. I have no idea what's going on there. I don't want to take a chance. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, Umeniya hu bechinas onon va'arofel. An obstacle is also referred to by the term cloud or a mist. We know there's a pasuk in Koheles where the pasuk says, Rabbeinu Zal quotes this, I believe, in chapter 9 in Likut Imran, chapter 2 in Likut Imran, Sakoiso be'onon loch me'avur t'fila. Hashem, you covered yourself, you circled yourself with a cloud not to allow the prayers to pass through, to get through to you. So we see that the term onon arofel is synonymous with meniya, obstacle. Ki onon varofel hainu choshech. Because a cloud and this mist are forms of darkness. They block the light. Choshech, and the Hebrew word choshech, which means darkness, is the same word hu loshen meniya. That same term is used to refer to obstacle, to hold back. Kama shekosuv, as it says, by Avram Avinu, when the angel compliments him, and the angel says to him, "V'loy chosachto es bincha es yechidcho," you did not hold back your son. When Hashem asked you, "Give me your son as a sacrifice," you didn't hold him back. Again, you weren't moineya him. You didn't prevent your son from going forward with this project of becoming a sacrifice to Hashem. V'zeh pirush ha-posuk, and with this we could understand the posuk, v'yamoit ha'om me'rochoik. The people stood back, they kept a distance. Ki kesheroyin ho'arofel hainu ha-maniya, because when regular people, people that are not that smart, when they see that darkness, that obstacle, oim de me'rochoik, they stay far away, they keep their distance. U'moyshe, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, Shehu Bechinas Das Kol Yisrael, he symbolizes the intelligence, the intellect of the holy Jew, of the entire Jewish people. Niga Shel Ho'arofel, he approaches that obstacle, that mist. Asher Shom Hu Elokim, Hainu El Hamaniya, he approaches, he goes forward to attack that obstacle. Shebo bi'atzmo nistar Hashem Yisborach, because he knows that Hashem is hidden inside over there. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds, Oid shomanu bozeh mipiv hakodosh shohisif levayer ho'inyin anal. We heard in addition from Rabbi Nachman's holy mouth that he expounded on this. He explained this a little more clearly. Masha Hashem Yisborach bi'atzmo imastir asatzmo yibesoich hamaniyah. This concept of Hashem himself hiding himself inside the obstacle. Now listen to this explanation. Ki Hashem Yisborach oyhev mishpat, because Hashem likes and respects justice, as it says in Yeshaya Novi, in Tehillim, in the Zohar Kodesh, vegam hu oyhev Yisrael, and Hashem also loves the Jewish people. Ach ahavosoi shu oyhev es Yisrael hi gedoy lo yoiser mi'avo shu oyhev es hamishpat. The love that Hashem has for the Jewish people is far greater than the love that he has for justice. This is one of the reasons why on the Day of Judgment, on Rosh Hashanah, Hashem tells us to blow the shofar, to remind Hashem how Avram Avinu did not hold back his son. He wasn't moineya, his son, from being able to carry out this mission at the Akedah. And not only that, but the Medrash tells us that the Sultan placed every type of obstacle in the world to block Avram Avinu from going towards the mountain where he would bring his son as a sacrifice. And Avram Avinu went through the obstacles one after another. V'al kein, and therefore, because of the fact that Hashem's love for the Jewish people is far greater than his love for justice, V'al kein, kishahamida sadin mekatreg al mi she'enoi roi liskarv la Hashem Yisborach. When Hashem's attribute of judgment speaks out against a Jew who wants to come close to Hashem, livli lahanichoy lichnois laderech hachaim, to try to prevent that Jew from entering into the path of life, lehiskarev lahatzadik oemes ulederech emes, from coming close to a true tzaddik and the true path which will lead that person close to Hashem. By saying, who is this guy? He woke up now? Where was he till now? Person led a whole life of Riley, fun and games, and now he decided he wants to become religious. We should put out a red carpet for him? Forget it. On the contrary, we have to push him away. He doesn't really deserve it. We have to really make him fight to come close. Vashem Yisborach Oyev Mishpat. Hashem loves justice. Al Kain, Hu Yisborach Muchrach Kaviyochol Lahaskim. Therefore, it's as if Hashem is obligated to agree, lahasmin loy meniyos, for the person to encounter obstacles, lemoinoy miderach hachaim, to block him, to put up walls and obstacles, blocking that person from coming close to Hashem, kifi horoy loy lefi maisav horoyim, based on what that person deserves. The person deserves to be blocked based on all the terrible things that he did, al pi hadin vamishpat, based on justice and fairness. Ki hu yisporach eino yochoy lidchois es hadin, because Hashem cannot just ignore and disregard the justice. Ki hu yisporach oyev mishpat, because that's one of Hashem's attributes. Hashem is mishpat. Ach me'achar shashem yisporach, ach me'achar shebemes hu yisporach oyev Yisrael. However, because of the fact that Hashem really loves the Jewish people, and the love for the Jewish people is greater, far greater, than Hashem's love for justice. Ma ois Hashem Yisborach? What does Hashem do? Ki hu muchrich kaviyochoy lahaskim al amaniyas lamana meyemes, because on one hand, Hashem must agree that this person should to put obstacles in front of the person to block him from getting to the truth, machmas hadin v'mishpat olav, because of the judgment against this person, because of the terrible things that they did until now, ki hu oyev mishpat, because Hashem loves fairness and justice. Avlaf al pikein, however, despite that, be'emes la'amitoi, the real truth about Hashem is, the real truth Hashem wants, Ritzonoi v'cheftza Yisborach, what Hashem really wants is, She'afal pikein yiskarei v'odam ele Yisborach, that despite all of this, he wants that Jew to come close to him. Ki hu oyev Yisrael yoyser me'amishbod, because as we said before, Hashem loves the Jews more than he loves the justice. Al kein, therefore, Hashem Yisborach noisein reshus lahazmen loymeniyos. Hashem gives permission to the angels of judgment, to the forces of Klipa and Tuma, to arrange obstacles for that person. Aval, however, hu yisporach biatzmoi mastir es atzmoi kaviyochel besoy chamaniyos. Hashem himself hides himself in the obstacles. Umi shehu bardas, a person who's smart, yochoy limtzi es Hashem yisporach betoy chamaniyos batzmon, can find Hashem in the obstacles. He realizes that this is also from Hashem, and this is also for my good. There's an expression in French, they say, no pain, no gain. We know that when a person wants to improve their muscles, their exercise, the more opposition there is, the more he has to work against force, the more that strengthens the person, it improves the person, it elevates the person. So here also, the person realizes that this is from Hashem, it's only for my good. He's pushing him away because Hashem wants to see, he wants me to rev up my engines. He wants me to get more serious and stronger and more determined about coming close to him. Just like Lahavdil, a plane, before it takes off, most of the planes, they put the brake on, and when the engine gets to a certain level of full power, then they release the brake. Because if they didn't do that, they would need a runway of 10 miles for a plane to take off. It's because of that brake that's holding back the plane until the engines are at full throttle That's what allows the plane to start off much more quickly and to achieve the speed that it needs for takeoff in a much shorter distance of runway than it would otherwise. So that holding back is really to enable the plane to go forward more quickly. So therefore, the person who's a bar das can find Hashem inside the menias. Ki be'emes ein shum menia ba'olam klal. Because the truth is, there's no such thing as an obstacle preventing a person from coming close to Hashem. Ki betoikif hamanias bi'atzmon nistar Hashem yisporach. Because inside the thickness of the obstacle, Hashem is found in there. Hashem is inside of there. V'al'yidei hamaniyos bi'atzmon daika. And it's specifically through the obstacles, yecholin l'skarav l'Hashem yisborach. That's what will help the person to be able to come close to Hashem. Kishom nistar hu yisborach kanal. Because again, Hashem is hidden inside over there. V'zehu, this is what the pasuk means. U'moshe nigash el ho'arofel. Moshe Rabbeinu approached this darkness, this mist, Shehu Amaniyah, which is the obstacle, Kishom Hu Elokim, because that's where Hashem was. That's where Hashem was to be found. If you recall, we've mentioned in the past that when the Jews went down to Egypt, it says, the opening pasuk in Shemoy says, Ve'ele Shemoyz B'nei Yisrael Aboy Mitzrayimah. These are the names of the Jews who went down to Egypt. The word Mitzrayimah is Bigimatria Shechina, to show that when the Egypt, which was an obstacle, was blocking the Jews from being, the place for the Jews is in Israel, the land of Eretz Yisrael. And instead of going up to Eretz Yisrael, we went down to Mitzrayim. That Yerida was Letzorech Aliyah. That going down to Egypt was in order to bounce up, like on a diving board, and to be able to achieve the great aliyah of entering into Eretz Yisrael at the right time, many years later, with Yehoshua, and to be able to defeat the seven nations that were there, to achieve the great success that was achieved at that time. And again, the word Mitzrayim is Bigimatria Shechina, to show that in the Meniyah, in Mitzrayim, is found the divine presence of Hashem. I once observed that the word Ha'arofel, if you take the word Harofel, He is 5, Ayin is 70, 75, Resh is 200, 275, plus 80 is 355, plus 30 is 385. The word Harofel is Bigimatria Shechina, to show again that the divine presence of Hashem is inside that Harofel. And also, finally, I've mentioned from the Arizal in the past, that if we take a look at Hashem's name of judgment, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is the name of Hashem that represents Malchus, Melech Bamishpot Yamid Eretz. A king establishes his land with justice, with Mishpot. Hashem's name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the Arizal says, each one of those letters, when you pronounce it, it forms a three-letter word. The letter Aleph, it's as if you would write three letters, Aleph Lamed Pei. The letter Dalid, Dalid Lamed Tov. Nun, Nun Vav Nun. Yud, Yud Vav Dalid. Each one of those four letters has a milui of three letters. Let's take a look at the inside one, the middle letter of each one of those. In the word Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei, the middle letter is a Lamed. In the word Dalid, Dalid Lamed Tov, the middle letter is a lamed. In the word nun, nun vav nun, the middle letter is a vav. In the word yud, yud vav dalid, the middle letter is a vav. If you take that middle section, the middle only, the lamed and the lamed and the vav, 30 plus 30 plus 6 plus 6 equals 72, which is chesed. The Arizal tells us that the Miniyah, the judgment of Hashem, judgment, Givura, is represented by the color red. Red. The pasuk we say on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Im Yadimu Katoila. If the judgment against us will be red, like a blood red worm, Kashela Galbino. Hashem says, I'll whiten it like snow. So this name of Hashem, Din, Dina, Dina de Malchusa Dina, this name of Hashem of Din, we see that the inside is chesed. And this is represented by a red apple. A red apple. The outside, the peel, is red. You look at it on the outside, it's clear. I mean, everybody knows the apple. It's a red, delicious apple. But if you strip away, you see it's a very thin, thin, thin covering. It's only on the outside. The inside is 99% white. As the pasuk says about Hashem, Merkavoy Argomon, the throne of Hashem, the chariot of Hashem is Argomon. Argomon is purple, which is deep, deep, deep red in a sense. But Toichoy Rotsuf Ahava, the inside, the center, is lined with love. Any questions?
Recognizing Hashem as in a maniyah is one level, but are we also able to interpret that maniyah and apply that specifically to ourselves?
If the person sees that the obstacle is being put in front of them, a person wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, let's say, and they see there's an obstacle, I can't find my passport, I've had all kinds of different circumstances coming up, and the person says, I know that what I want to do is a Dovar Shebikdusha. It's something very special for my neshama. These things, these problems are like obstacles blocking me. I'm going to try to do everything I can to get through it. And again, he understands that sometimes, as we saw earlier in chapter 66 in Likut Imran, one of the reasons for these obstacles sometimes is lahagbir es hacheshek, to get the person to want that thing even more. When a child is told that if you do this and this, if for 40 days you behave well in everything, you're going to get a bicycle. And they see the bicycle. And again, as they're counting those days, they're getting more excited. And the bicycle is behind the fence, but they see, they're told, but one second, on the 40th day, you have to do such and such a thing, which is something that's difficult for that person. The person understands it's difficult, it's an obstacle, but if I really want the thing, and if I know that I really need it, it's really to my benefit, no obstacle in the world will block me from getting through. The Gemara says, Ein dovar oimed befnei harotzoim, that there is nothing that can withstand the willpower of a Jew. That if a Jew really, really wants something and is determined and won't be frightened away by any obstacles or things like that, they'll definitely achieve what they're trying to.
So I was wondering if a person looks at a certain maniyah, can they also try to interpret that Hashem is telling that they need a certain type of a tikkun based on that the nature of that maniyah?
Sometimes that's the case. Sometimes something is being held back from a person because they're not ready for it yet. And if they would get it at that point in time, it would be harmful to them. Person has to try to do what they can to overcome the obstacle, but always with recognition that Hashem knows when is the right time, you know, and for me to be able to get to that thing. We know, for example, the Gemara tells us that Hashem withheld children from our forefathers, from the mothers of the Jewish people, because Hashem loves their tefillos. He wanted to squeeze them for more tefillah, better tefillos, which were needed desperately in heaven for the reasons that it was needed there. So sometimes, again, Hashem holds back something from a person in order to be able to get the person to really generate more tefillah, more ratzon, which is needed for all kinds of important reasons.
Thank you.
Sure. This is one of the things where, again, sometimes a person doesn't know. And in a person's tefillah, we ask Hashem, I see this obstacle. If it's something I'm supposed to overcome, give me the strength. And I shouldn't be lazy. And I should apply full power that I should. If the implication is that I must wait, then give me the ability to wait for the right time. And then at the right time, to be able to do whatever I need to do to accomplish it. The next chapter is a very short chapter. We'll include it. Chapter 116, Hanoisein Tzedaka Nitzol Me'averois. A person who gives charity is saved from sins. Rabbi Nezal says, there's a Gemara in Shabbos where the Gemara says, Ki kol hamarachim al habriois merachmim olav min hashamayim. Any person who has pity on other human beings, then from heaven, they have pity on that person. V'chol mi she'ein boideya, and the Gemara also says in Brachas, that any person who doesn't have intelligence, who isn't smart, osel rachim olav, you're not allowed to show that person compassion. V'kevon shemerachmim olav. Now, going back to the first sentence that we said, that by me showing pity on others, Hashem is going to show pity on me. Behechrich nois, and they don't show pity on people who don't have das, who aren't intelligent. Behechrich nois and loy das. It must be that Hashem will see to it to give me das. If I'm lacking in das, Hashem will fill in that das. He'll give me that seichel, that intellect. And when a person has das, vazai nitzol milovoy laveira. When a person has intelligence, true intelligence, then that person is saved from committing sins. Because the Gemara says in the beginning of Sota, ki ein odom oivra aveira, elam kei nichnas boi ruach shtus. A person only commits a sin if a spirit of foolishness enters into the person. Avul kishyesh loideo, if the person is not foolish, if the person has intelligence, nitzol me aveirois, then he won't commit sins, he's saved from sins. Amen, ken yehi rotzayim. May this really be the will of Hashem. So Hashem took these three Gemaras and put them together in such a way that here again, the Torah tells us that by me showing kindness to others, this will push Hashem to show kindness to me. The Gemara also says that a person who has no das, you can't show him kindness because he won't know what to do with it. He'll misuse the kindness. He'll harm himself or others with kindness. You get a person who, chas v'shalom, is lacking in very unintelligent, you know, nutty, crazy. You give such a person a bottle, they'll throw it at someone, chas v'shalom. They'll harm themselves or the person's thirsty. You give them a bottle of water, they can hurt themselves or other people with that bottle. So a person who has no doubt, we're not allowed to have rachmanis on such a person. But you told me before that by me showing kindness to others, by me giving charity, which is a form of showing kindness to others, Hashem will show kindness to me. In order for him to show kindness to me, he'll have to make sure that I have das. And the Gemara tells us a person who has das does not commit sins. Committing sins implies foolishness, silliness, ruach shtus. Hashem should help us that this is the season now. We just had Purim, which is a special time. Every day, 365 days a year, is a time for charity. We know that on Shabbos and Yom Tov is a major time for charity, for a person inviting guests into their home, people who don't have a meal, people who don't have accommodations. That's a very high form of tzedakah on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But there are special days where the Torah says it's an extra special mitzvah to give tzedakah. One of those times is Purim, and another time is Pesach. Before a Yom Tov like Pesach, when Tzorchei Amcha Merubim, when people need clothing, the Shulchan Aruch tells us that it's a mitzvah for parents who buy clothing for children, let's say, especially to buy it before Yom Tov as a means of showing respect and love for the holiday. So the children know that a holiday is a time of simcha, celebration, for a wife, for children, and even for oneself. Clothing, food, other things, Hashem should put all of us in a position that we shouldn't need. We should be in a position to help all those that need help. And in that zechus, we should be protected from all averus, all sins. Baruch Hashem. Wishing everybody a wonderful week, a good chodesh, everything good. All the best.
Shkoyach.
Sure. All the best.